Hey, Chef. Welcome back. You've ever noticed how your mood instantly affects the atmosphere in your kitchen? Ever walked in stressed and seen your team quickly follow suit? Do you question how your daily vibe might be shaping your team's performance and overall culture? Today, we're diving into how your energy impacts your kitchen more deeply than you realize. I'll reveal how managing your own vibe can boost productivity, morale, and create a culture of positivity. We'll get to that and a whole lot more right after this message. Welcome to Chef Life Radio, the podcast dedicated to helping chefs and culinary leaders take control of their kitchens, build resilient teams, and create a thriving career in hospitality. I'm Chef Adam Lamb, your host, leadership coach, and industry veteran. If you're tired of high turnover, burnout, and the daily grind, you're not alone. This podcast is here to give you the real strategies, insights, and tools you need to lead with confidence, build a culture of excellence, and craft a kitchen that works for you, not against you. Because the best kitchens don't just survive, they thrive. Hit that subscribe button and let's get started. The power of your energy. Believe it or not, your energy sets the emotional and operational tone of the kitchen, directly influencing morale, efficiency, and team cohesion. Whether positive or negative, a leader's attitude and demeanor spread quickly. If you ever enter the kitchen stressed, impatient, or frustrated, your team will absorb that tension. Conversely, walking in with confidence, focus, and a solution-oriented mindset encourages a productive and positive atmosphere. Team members subconsciously reflect their leader's energy. A composed, upbeat leader fosters a kitchen environment where staff feel more at ease, motivated, and engaged. On the other hand, a constantly agitated leader can create an environment of anxiety, making mistakes more frequent and communication less effective. Listen, service can be unpredictable, stress levels can spike unexpectedly, but a leader who maintains composure and sets the expectation for calm, collected problem solving helps the team stay focused under pressure rather than spiraling into chaos. Over time, the cumulative energy a leader brings shapes the overall work environment. Kitchens that operate under constant negativity experience high turnover, lower creativity, and decreased trust among staff. Meanwhile, kitchens led with consistent positivity and support see stronger collaboration, better retention, and overall higher performance. Are you consciously choosing your energy, or are you just reacting to the stress? Have you ever been in a room, like maybe waiting for a meeting to start, and you're looking around and you can see that everybody's kind of down, and the overall energy of the room is just off somehow, right? It's almost like a physical pall hanging in the room, a cloud over everybody's head. And yet, a positive person can walk into that environment and within a few moments have people start sitting up, paying attention. All of a sudden, people are smiling. There's a great video I'm going to link to in the show notes where this guy walks on a bus and he starts laughing. And pretty soon, the entire bus is laughing. It's hysterical, man. But that's how one person's energy can shift the entire room. That's the power that your energy has. And while negative energy can be infectious, good, positive energy can also be infectious. Sometimes you're just going to have to work a little bit harder to bust through those walls. But eventually, your positivity will start to affect everybody, even though they might not necessarily admit it. Listen, there's no horror story that I can tell you that will convince you any more than you already know of how intense things can get in a kitchen. And yet that is the precise moment when the intensity ratchets up, when calm is most needed. Don't believe me? Tell me what your blood pressure does after listening to this. If you're anything like me, even if you're dead tired, when the machine starts hitting, you perk up. Listen, I happen to consider myself an expo master, and I spent plenty of nights on the line, and it seemed like when the tickets started coming in fast and furious, my energy would ramp up to match the speed at which the tickets were coming in. And yet the quicker I called, the more mistakes were being made. So even though my energy is way high, no one else can keep up with me. And so that's the moment when I needed to take a pause, slow down, get grounded, check everybody, look them in the eyes, call out their name before calling out tickets and lead them through this particular rush with calm, certain, grounded energy. Because it's not just about me, it's about me leading the team. And the only way I can do that and be successful is by staying calm. Trying to be the center of the hurricane, the eye of the storm. When everything else is going around and my cooks are looking at me for some type of emotional cue and I can be grounded, all of a sudden they get grounded too. Mistakes lessen, the stress lessens. They know that they're in good hands and that I am not going to lead them off the cliff in a rush. I was recently on the Culinary Mechanic podcast with host Simon Zichurka, and we were talking about this exact same thing. And I related a story when I used to work at this movie theater that had a full service restaurant, the very first time it actually happened in the United States in Boca Raton, Florida, movie co-premiere. And the thing about that was, is that everybody had somewhere to go. People would sit down, they would start pressing the server. Hey, listen, I got to get to my movie. And that would cause a great deal of stress. And also this thing about time compression. So 7:15, 7:30, because there's an 8 o'clock show, everything starts going crazy. And then it would drop down 8:25, 8:30, because now it's between shows. And then the room would open back up again. And it got to the point where at the height of the rush, when things are peaking, listen, I've got 2 expo, 6 food runners, and I've got 10 cooks on 5 stations. And I would sit there and I would wait for the machine to just spit out onto the floor because everybody needed a moment. Jeff Simon was so great because he related a similar story in which he concocted this particular strategy where he would get a busboy to go get glasses of water and come back and he would hand glasses of water to everybody and just wait. Everybody take a drink. Just be calm. Take a breath. And the thing that amazed me is that he told me in that moment what he was doing actually. He peeled back the covers as he was returning humanity back to his cooks. So they went from being a machine, being a cog, like, shit, man, I can't keep doing this. I'm not a goddamn machine, to take a breath, have a glass of water, understand that you're a human being and you can only go so far, so fast. And I thought that that was brilliant. Acknowledging the humanity, viewing your associates as more than a pair of hands, as more than, you know, just a body on a station. Like, acknowledging the fact that they're human beings and you can only go so far. You can only push them to a certain extent. And Simon made another point when he was talking about the fact that, like, you get up to this particular point of energy and you can only sustain it for about 40 minutes, an hour maybe, where it's peak production, peak execution. And if you don't take a break, if you don't offer somebody to return back to themselves as a human being, then everything goes sideways. Does that land with you? You remember the days when you were just a cog in the machine and everybody was on you just to keep producing? Yeah. Yeah. Why should we expect that from others when we couldn't even fucking stand that shit? And now we're at the portion of our show when I say something that all of us know to be true, but very few of us are willing to say out loud. Here are the consequences of your fucking negative vibes. Listen, negative leadership energy can create a toxic work environment, diminishing morale, performance, and overall kitchen culture. Yeah, we know that. And yet sometimes when we're in the midst of our shit, we can't pull ourselves out far enough to actually see ourselves the way that we're presenting ourselves. It's this idea of being present again, reduced morale and team engagement. A negative leader fosters an atmosphere of fear and uncertainty. When team members feel unsupported, undervalued, or micromanaged, they disengage from their work, leading to lower overall enthusiasm and job satisfaction. And oh my God, haven't we all been there? Question is, why do we continue to propagate that? What? Because, you know, we do as we were told, as we are taught, as we are shamed, trained, and conditioned. Higher mistakes and turnover. Chronic stress and negative reinforcement create an environment where employees operate out of fear instead of confidence. Mistakes increase due to anxiety, and high turnover becomes inevitable as chefs seek healthier, more positive work environments because there are only two things to consider. Is it the person running the system or is it the system? And too often we want to shit on the person who's running the system instead of doing the deeper work, which is like, do we actually fucking know what we're doing? Are we setting that associate up for success? Does he have the tools, the knowledge, the time to understand what's actually required of him? Or do we just need a fall guy? 9 times out of 10, it's been my experience that we have the right person in the wrong job because we didn't think deep enough about which skill set would be best for which job. And undertaking that work, that's a leader. What the fuck, man? I didn't know I was the problem, but apparently I was. And so it's incumbent upon me to try to figure out some way of being different in my day-to-day such that I can actually foster a thriving kitchen environment, such that I can become the preferred employer on the block. I don't have to put an ad out because people are lined up outside, but they can only do that if the street knows that I treat people well. And if I'm feeding them my shit, that's not going to happen. The hardest part of leadership is taking the shit and holding it such that it doesn't affect anybody underneath you emotionally. Like, listen, there's processes and procedures that need to be changed. Get that? Totally cool. But when it's about trying to take the crap out of somebody, then it's your job to take it, to hold it. And then the question becomes, what do you do about it? Like, how do you exercise that energy out of your body? Because if you don't, that will continue to reside in you and curdle such that now all of a sudden you are pissed off all the fucking time. I remember so clearly a pivotal moment in my career when I bounced into the GM's office and I was so fucking pissed. I was angry at my cooks. I was angry at my sous chefs. I was angry at the people who came in. I blurted out, this job would be so great if it wasn't for the people. And she laughingly said, like, which ones? And I said, all of them. And she let me rant and rave for minutes until I dropped in the chair, completely exhausted because I had nothing left. And she sat there for about 5 minutes and she looked at me and then finally said, Adam, don't you see the God in what you do? I'm like, fucking, what do you mean? And she said, Adam, look at our society. Look what's happening. You go to the gas station. You don't go inside. You pay at the ATM. You go to the bank. You go to the ATM. You don't go inside. She said, our society has become more and more fractured and less connected. Don't you understand that what you do is a great excuse for people to come together and be in relationship with one another? Maybe they haven't seen each other in years. Maybe it's only been months, but what you do provides them an opportunity to gather around a table and be connected to one another. And after I heard her say that, I settled back in my chair and I thought, wow, not only am I a lot less pissed, but I'm kind of fucking feeling sheepish right now. Like, I thought it was all about me. But what she did is she shared a different perspective with me in that moment. I could see myself within what she was talking about. And I understood that being in service, like in this community, in this brotherhood and sisterhood of chefs, culinary professionals, our first foundational principle is to be in service to others, whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, cool, get the fuck out. But if you are, just understand that what we do facilitates conversation. And that is probably the most important thing that any person can do now in this society. It's not through the phone. It's not through text. We get people around a table and that's where fucking magic can happen. So overstating the obvious, One of the consequences of negative vibes is long-term cultural damage. A consistently negative environment leads to decreased trust between staff and leadership, eroding the sense of camaraderie and shared purpose within the kitchen. Once negativity takes root, it becomes difficult to shift back a positive culture without intentional intervention. And oh my God, haven't we all fucking been there? Problem was, is there was never intentional intervention. It was always about a poster on the wall or something that came from upstairs. It was never a co-creative process about who the fuck we are and who are we moving forward. How do we serve our customers? How do we serve our associates? Like, can we engage one another in a fruitful conversation about what it looks like moving forward together? Listen, your vibe creates your tribe. A kitchen led with negativity breeds discontent, but a kitchen led with optimism fosters growth and success. I don't know how other way to put it, man. I mean, it's that simple. And yet all of us have experienced this, but very few of us have been on the edge where we could actually influence it. And that's where we convince ourselves that we don't have any power. And what I want to say to you is it doesn't matter about a fucking tag, doesn't matter about your hat size, doesn't matter anything. You can influence the people around you immediately by your presence. Now, what are you going to do about that? The choice comes down to whether or not you're going to be a victim of your circumstance or whether you're going to understand that at some level, you made a choice and you accepted your circumstance. Cool. What that does is it empowers you to understand that you can make a different choice. If it's not the place that you want to work at, you can choose another. If you're okay with that choice, cool. Be there fully. If not, know that you can choose other. If you remain a victim of your circumstance, whether it's because of money or benefits or whatever, the golden lasso, the parachute, whatever, it's just a choice. And you can choose again tomorrow. You can make a different choice. Listen, talking about you as a leader, I'm talking about you as a person. I understand that leadership energy is a choice. And cultivating a positive work environment starts with intentional habits and behaviors. What I'm trying to suggest is that, well, fuck it, I'm not suggesting, I'm just going to tell you right out loud. If you're not into it, don't be there. Get out. Nobody is telling you that you have to do that. You don't have to be with that employer. You don't have to be with this particular, you know, career field. And that's cool. Nobody's going to fucking judge you. Like, I get it that you put a lot of effort, you put a lot of money, school and all that kind of stuff. One of the best things that I ever did was take a break. I actually walked away from this industry twice. But in the time that I was gone, I learned skills. I set myself intentionally on not necessarily how I could be a better chef, but how I could be a better person, how I could be a better leader. And I guess this is where I want to lead the conversation. Leadership is a choice, and your energy is a part of that. Cultivating a positive work environment starts with intentional habits and behaviors. Listen, if you want to develop emotional awareness, we should all recognize how our moods and reactions impact our team. The only way to do that is with regular check-ins. That can prevent negativity from spreading from one person to another. We can also set the tone from the start. I can arrive at work with a clear, positive mindset. I can set the foundation for the day's service. When I enter the kitchen with confidence and enthusiasm, I can establish the emotional standard. Listen, small gestures of appreciation, acknowledgement of hard work, and celebrating team successes reinforces morale and motivation. You and I know that. It's the thing that kept us going. Finally, lead with composure. Maintaining a calm and solution-focused demeanor, especially in high-pressure moments, helps keep the team grounded and confident. Listen, leadership is a choice. If you choose that, then understand that there are certain requirements. So here are your action steps for this episode. Number one, identify your emotional triggers and develop strategies to manage them proactively. Number two, set a daily intention for the energy you want to bring into your kitchen. Write down your intention daily. It only takes a couple minutes to sit there in your journal and write down, what intention are you bringing? I will be calm. I will be present. I will be X. The fact is intention is everything. We can either be conscious or unconscious in the way that we go about our business. Action step number three, regularly create space for open communication. Those daily stand-up meetings, team check-ins, pre-shifts, simple one-on-one conversations to maintain a positive kitchen atmosphere. It also gives you the opportunity to redirect any negative energy that someone else is bringing. Someone shows up on the line and you can just tell they're not on their game. That's the time to approach. Okay, got a couple of minutes? Just want to check in with you. And then check in. What's happening? What's going on? You're not your same bubbly self. Anything I need to know about? Everything cool at home? Taking the time to understand where they're at emotionally is very often the only thing that people need in order to shift their energy. But you have to be the one to initiate. Great leadership isn't about skills. It's about consciously managing our energy. It's the hardest work we'll ever do, and it's the most rewarding. If today's conversation resonated, take a moment to reflect on the energy you bring to your kitchen. Leadership isn't just about directing a team, it's about inspiring them. Make a conscious choice today to lead with positivity and intention. Take a moment to ask yourself, how do you want your team to feel at the end of a shift? Do you want them to feel drained, frustrated, and on edge? Or do you want them to leave feeling accomplished, valued, and motivated for the next service? It all starts with the energy you bring. Take a deep breath before stepping into the kitchen today. Set the tone, uplift your crew, and remember, you control the vibe more than you realize. Until next time, stay tall and frosty, and don't forget to lead with your heart. That's a wrap for today's episode of Chef Life Radio. If this resonated with you, do me a favor, subscribe, share, and leave a review. Your feedback helps us reach more culinary leaders like you who are ready to take their kitchens to the next level. Want more? Connect with me on LinkedIn, Instagram, or join our Chef Life Radio community for exclusive insights and leadership tools. Remember, leadership isn't about perfection, it's about progress. So take what you've learned today and apply it in your kitchen, your team, and your life. Chef Life Radio is more than just a podcast, it's a movement. The focus is no longer just on career survival, but on transforming leadership, creating sustainability, and ensuring chefs can build kitchens that thrive. Remember, the secret ingredient to culinary success isn't just in the food, it's in the leadership. Keep learning, keep growing, and as always, lead with the heart. See you next time.